Connor is the Deputy Director for the Public Health Division of the Oregon Health Authority. She leads the department's policy and strategy work. She also is the principal investigator on the state's infrastructure grant from CDC and is shepherding Oregon's pursuit of accreditation. She has a Bachelor of Science and a Master of Public Health and a Doctor of Law all from Emory University and a Doctor of Public Health Policy from the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill.
Thank you. So before I get started, I noticed there's sort of an after-lunch kind of lull in the room. Could I get everybody to just stand up for 1 second? Just kind of shake out your arms and legs. I know it's really hard right after lunch to sit for an hour and a half. I have a hard time sitting still for an hour and a half ever, much less right after lunch. So great. Thank you. You can sit down, or if you'd like to stand, I won't be offended. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about Oregon's pursuit of accreditation and some of our lessons learned from our first year. And I want to just emphasize that these are lessons learned from our first year, maybe a year and a half, depending on how you count it. And we certainly think that we're on a journey, at least a five-year journey, if not longer. So I want to do a couple of things with the time I've got, and I'm going to try to get us back on track time-wise during this presentation as well. I want to talk with you about the National Public Health Accreditation Movement. It was great to see the hands earlier. It seems like most of the folks in the room probably know a whole lot about accreditation already. I want to talk about the risks and benefits to health agencies, especially a state public health agency, of pursuing public health accreditation, and I think there are both risks and benefits. And I want to just give you enough information so that at least you can take Oregon's story and use it to help think about the relative readiness of your organization to submit a letter of intent for public health accreditation. Okay, so I want to tell you a little bit about Oregon. And before I tell you about the information on this slide, I want to ask you to just think back to 1993 and think about what you were doing. Anybody remember? Well, if you think really hard, it was almost 20 years ago now, you may remember that this is a time when, again, the nation was really talking about healthcare and healthcare access. And the Clinton administration was talking about health reform and the uninsured. And we were also in a period of economic uncertainty. So what's old is new again. And Oregon was no different. In 1993, the state was thinking about how to cover more of the uninsured. And some of you may have heard about the Oregon Health Plan. It's famous or infamous, depending on what circles you run in. And the Oregon Health Plan really had its genesis in the early 1990s when the state tried to figure out how they were going to cover more people. So why am I telling you about this in the context of a talk about accreditation? I'm going to explain that in just a minute. But the state went through a number of different stakeholder engagement processes to try to figure out how to cover more people. And the governor at the time was actually the governor, is actually the current governor of the state. In Oregon, you can serve as governor more than once as long as there is space between your terms. So we have Governor Kitzhaber was governor for 8 years in the 1990s, and then he took a break, and now he's governor again. So back in 1993, Oregon really started on this journey of transforming our health system. We have been on that journey now for almost 20 years. And this past year, the state had some tremendous success in its work to transform the health system. With the continuing and ongoing recognition of unsustainable costs and poor health care quality and poor health outcomes, the state pursued a waiver from CMS for a new model to deliver care to our Medicaid population. And that new model includes something called coordinated care organizations. Now, some of you may be familiar with accountable care organizations. Our model is a lot like that. These coordinated care organizations put decisions about health in the hands of communities. They establish boards that include community representatives. And they have global budgets, with really fixed growth. The idea being that we want to control the growth in our healthcare costs. And there's a strong desire in the state to put an emphasis on prevention. So this is really a remarkable transformation in our healthcare system in Oregon. And you can see from this slide with lots of little lines, probably some text too small for most of you to read, that over 10 years, this is projected to save a tremendous amount of money. But this is only one part of our health system transformation in Oregon. We also think that transforming the public health system is an essential part of that larger picture. And so this is why I told you I was going to, why am I talking to you about health care and health reform? Well, it's a really important piece of the context for our accreditation work in Oregon. So we know we need to transform the public health system. Now, in Medicaid, they have waivers. A state can pursue a waiver, a state can change its models for delivery of care, and there's sort of a formula. You can expand your Medicaid program and so forth if you want to change your healthcare system. Well, in public health, we know that it's much more complex. So we spent some time in Oregon thinking about how we might transform the public health system, and we by no means have all the answers, but we're pursuing a couple of different strategies. One of those is pursuing funding and opportunities, particularly with Medicaid, that will help us link community and clinical preventive services. We're using our Public Health Advisory Board, which is the equivalent really in our state of a state board of health. It's a little different, but it's the closest thing we have, to look at the structure of our public health system. We're doing a lot of quality improvement projects that benefit the system, and I want to thank and acknowledge ASTO, who's here in the room, for their support of our quality improvement work. We're also funding local public health authorities, that's that LPHA, those are what we call our local public health authorities, to accelerate their accreditation readiness. And we're pursuing accreditation of our own state agency. And for the last two, which is what I'm really going to focus on for the remainder of this presentation, I want to acknowledge that much of the funding and support for this work comes from our grant from CDC through OSTILTS, our infrastructure grant. So what is accreditation? I don't have to tell most of you. You know that public health department accreditation is defined as the development of a set of standards, a process to measure health department performance against those standards, and reward and recognize those health departments who meet the standards. Accreditation documents the capacity of the public health department to deliver the three core functions of public health and the 10 essential services. And thus, it's intended to give a reasonable assurance of the range of public health services the department should provide. And although this definition is something we've all seen over and over again, this has really been something that I have come back to, I've asked our staff to come back to again and again as we think about what it is we're trying to do with accreditation. We're trying to meet the standards and assure that we are providing the services a health department should provide. So most of you are also probably familiar, at least in passing, with the FAB accreditation process. We've talked about components of this accreditation process during this session. There is a pre-application phase where a health department assesses its readiness to apply. It prepares the three prerequisite documents, a strategic plan, a health improvement plan, and a community health assessment. And that's true whether you're a state health department or a local health department. You apply, you submit that letter of intent, then you're involved, if your letter of intent is accepted, in document selection and submission, which for us that falls into our year two, so I'm not going to talk too much about it, but it is a complex process that I suspect next year at APHA a lot of people will be talking about. And then you have a site visit, and then finally an accreditation decision. There are also two more steps, reaccreditation and reporting, which go on continuously over that five-year process. And I should mention that where Oregon is at is that we recently submitted our statement of intent. So we have submitted our application and we've finished our three prerequisite documents. And when I say finished, I should probably use air quotes because I'm not sure that they're ever finished. We already know that we have a tremendous amount of additional work to do, particularly on our community health improvement plan, but also on the implementation of our strategic plan. We've used our CDC funding to fund our local health departments to accelerate their accreditation readiness. And we think that's a key part of the state health department's overall application. It wouldn't do us any good at the state level to become accredited if none of our local health departments were walking in that same journey as well. So we've been funding them. We also have a partner in one of our philanthropic organizations, the Northwest Health Foundation. And so you can see here on the map the different dots and the grade in counties, which counties have received funding. And I understand that three of our counties have submitted their statements of intent as well, and four more are likely to do so in the next couple of months. So we've been using these accreditation readiness grants to do a number of things with the counties, and that includes working on the community health assessments. Again, we need those assessments at the state level to be able to do our work, and several of them are also using it to work on their community health improvement plans. And again, that's something that feeds our work at the state level. It's very important for us to know about. And as I mentioned, we've completed our three prerequisites in Oregon. You can see here, this is an image of our very recently completed Public Health Division's strategic plan. It's available on our website, which you can find by Googling Oregon Public Health Division. And we wanted to make this available. So we've considered this completed, but we're still accepting comments from all of our partners. And you can see here a graphic that outlines what some of our thinking is. We have two goals in Oregon, and these are outlined in our strategic plan. One is to make Oregon one of the healthiest states, and the other is to make Oregon's public health system into a national model of excellence. And what you see around the outside are all the ways we think we're going to do that, the things we're going to focus on. And in the middle, you see our core values. And all of this is to achieve our vision of lifelong health for all people in Oregon. So lessons learned. What have we learned from this journey we've been on? We have learned that developing the state-level prerequisite documents in the context of health reform has been both helpful and a hindrance. So we are in a state that, as I mentioned, has been on this 20-year-long journey and recently has made a number of very significant changes in preparation for 2014. That's fabulous. It gives us an opportunity in public health to really build on those changes, but it's also been an organizational challenge for us because so many of the resources in our state agency have been devoted to the development of those coordinated care organizations that I mentioned earlier. On the other hand, it's a time of change, and we are using accreditation, we think, to embrace those changes. But again, some organizational challenges that have been described earlier in terms of resources and time and attention. We have learned some things about engaging partners within and outside of the public health system. With our staff, we were able to implement a very informal but very effective approach to creating thought leaders on accreditation. And what we simply did was quietly pick out about 10% of our staff in the division and invite them to attend presentations on accreditation, what it was, why they should attend it, why they should be participating in accreditation, how it would help them in their work. And those turned out to be really quite important as we moved down the path of accreditation. We have not had to explain what it is or why we're doing it. And when staff have had questions, we've been able to refer them to people in their own programs to talk with about accreditation. So that's really been quite useful. In terms of engaging partners outside the public health division, that has been something that we have discovered we need to do much more of. It's very difficult to talk about accreditation with partners other than our healthcare partners. They seem to understand the word accreditation very well, but some of our other partners aren't sure what it means or why they care. And one of our lessons learned, I think, is that we wish we had done some message testing with some of those other partners that we need for this process before we had started. We've learned something about the strategic value of state and local partnerships in evolving the public health system. We're really trying to use accreditation as a means to assure that everyone in Oregon has the access has access to the same level of public health services. We've been very fortunate that we've been able to fund our local partners to do some of this work. I think our regret is that there hasn't been more funding available, and that we went into this, when we went into this, we didn't think as much about the strategic value of that funding to generate the local partnerships that we would need to do our community health improvement plan, in particular at the state level. We've also, not surprisingly, had some challenges and some great opportunities working in an umbrella or super agency. So in Oregon, public health is in the same agency as Medicaid and mental health. Accreditation covers public health, but of course, not all of the resources that we need to do accreditation work fall within our division itself. So some lessons learned there, and something for folks to think about as they move forward in terms of engaging those people in other parts of your own agency in your accreditation work. And again, message testing and helping them to understand how this will benefit them. And then we've also learned some lessons and had a lot of successes in using the accreditation process to better align and leverage resources within a public health system. We've really been able to use the accreditation process to look at some of the policy questions about how we decide how funding is allocated and how we design programs. So it's really been quite valuable for that. To address some of the challenges and take advantage of some of the opportunities that accreditation, at least in the first year, has generated for us in Oregon, we have established an accreditation steering committee in our division. Very important. This is separate from our executive leadership team. And this steering committee is a group of staff and managers who get to help make decisions about our accreditation process. We really empowered them, and I think it's been useful to help keep the process moving forward. We've established a quality improvement council because, of course, quality improvement and accreditation go hand in hand, and you can't do one without the other. So we established a council of staff, again, with some outside partners who help us decide how to invest our quality improvement dollars and where to focus next to move us towards accreditation and beyond. We've been doing monthly reports to our local public health authorities, at least at the leadership level, and quarterly written reports to all of our local public health agencies. We've been reporting out informally using email to partners on progress. This has been very important to keeping people engaged in what we're doing, and again, why, and in helping us to move forward. And we've identified now three work groups just in this last month, as we started our second year of our accreditation effort, to address gaps in our domain areas. I think another lesson learned that we have is that going into this process, we knew there were going to be some domain areas where we were going to have a lot of work to do, and I wish we had started that work a year ago, rather than wait to formally identify it and wait to submit our statement of intent. I wish we had done that quite some time ago. And then one thing that's still really to be decided in Oregon is how we engage, or better engage, other parts of our umbrella agency. How do we bring those partners in on what we're doing, particularly now that we've submitted our statement of intent? What is their role? How can they help us? How can accreditation, our accreditation efforts, help them? And we think that answer lies somewhere in our health system transformation work, but it's not clear yet what. So in conclusion, I think we know that the careful self-study involved in accreditation and the accreditation prerequisites in particular has been helpful to us as we refocus programs. It's really served as a jumping off point in Oregon for very significant change, including a reorganization of our entire division. And the accreditation framework is serving as an organizing approach for filling gaps in some of those domain areas. Things we should have worked on a long time ago, like budget management, communications, and workforce development. And in year two, we're really excited to be focusing on documentation, building support for the effort, and preparing for the site visit. And I'm happy to take questions. This is my contact information, and I think we have a few minutes. Is that right, Sherry, for questions? Great, thank you.